Welcome to episode 309 of the official Game Stitch podcast. I'm Ryan Walton, and as always, I'm joined by Dan Reamer.
Greetings and salutations once again.
Welcome to the greatest show on earth.
That's right, not to be confused with Barnum and Bailey's Circus. We are the real greatest show on earth.
Has that closed down?
I don't know. I know they just had a big ruling in New Jersey this week that said that no circuses with wild animals are allowed in the state anymore.
Yeah, that's become a thing everywhere, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of they're kind of against the horrible treatment of the animals. Or alleged, I don't know. I've never worked for a circus.
I think there's some videos out there, and I'm sure that's the minority.
That doesn't mean it doesn't happen.
Right, or at least you would hope it was. But yeah, you know, elephants probably don't need to be kept in a cattle trailer.
You're probably right.
But I don't know much about elephants.
All those wild animals really should have an area, you know.
Yeah.
Zoos, I think, aren't quite on the same level as the circus.
Zoos probably fall somewhere in the middle of actually trying, but still not providing enough space.
Yes, I would agree with that.
And that's coming from a guy who loves zoos and aquariums. Like, at the end of the day, I don't know how ethical any of that stuff is.
Right.
But I will say we do a lot of things for entertainment that probably aren't ethical. And if you wanted to get down to the nuts and bolts of it, I mean, some animals right now wouldn't still exist if it weren't for zoos.
True.
And habitats and things like that man provided.
And to be fair, it's not just entertainment. Humans do a lot of things that aren't necessarily ethical for all different reasons.
Yeah, I would classify zoos and aquariums and circuses as entertainment.
As entertainment, I would too.
I don't know if they would be as successful if, you know, you showed up and they were riding another human around. I don't know. I'm sure the animals are a big factor, so I don't know that a circus can exist without... It's just clowns juggling, right, at that point?
Well, you have the trapeze folks. You have what they need to do is they need to go back to the old school. Like, you obviously wouldn't call it this because this is a horrible term from the early 1900s, but they used to call them the freak shows.
Yeah, I think you could still call it that.
You know, with the bearded ladies and that kind of stuff. I guess the worry there is that it's... being disrespectful to people with certain disabilities or things like that. So I don't know, but you can have you can have the jugglers. You can have the people ride bicycles on a tightrope or do the trapeze, that kind of thing.
I think the problem with something like a freak show where people have been desensitized because of the internet, you've seen everything.
That could be. Yeah. But so, you've never seen, I mean,
you're going to pay $30 to go see something you've seen a picture of, or I could just Google.
I don't know. People do it with the Mona Lisa all the time.
Yeah. It's true. I've seen the Mona Lisa many a time, and I would assume that I would take the opportunity to see it if I had it.
Yeah, I've done, you know. I've seen it. I've seen the Mona Lisa up close, and it's different than just seeing a picture of it in a book or something.
I don't know that it would get me in the feels, but I would go see it, you know.
Super interesting. Louvre is super interesting. Super great.
I'm not a big art guy.
I'm not either, but... being there, you kind of feel like, huh, I could be an art guy.
I went to an art auction on vacation, and I bought some art. And I will say that I could see how it would be easy to get lost in that world.
Oh, yeah.
It's neat. There's also like a arrogance about that world, though, that I don't know that I like.
Appreciate?
Yeah.
I don't think I appreciate that arrogance as much. It's the same thing with wine.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's the same crowd because it's a status thing almost more than it's an art appreciation thing.
To a point, yeah. I mean, the people do appreciate the art.
But do they appreciate it because it's expensive and because you don't have one?
Probably.
Yeah.
That's probably part of it. It's probably part of it.
And God knows I don't have a problem with that attitude.
Because, I mean, look at some of your artists that have, you know, that were are now considered to be, you know, some of the best of their time. And at the time, they were just struggling, you know, to get by. You know, Basquiat, Picasso, those kind of guys. They their paintings didn't. That's the problem with art, is that you don't really become like a factor or special until you're already dead.
Right.
You know, it's not like music or being a movie actor or something. You know, it's, you're never really appreciated until after you've passed. It's like, oh, your art is beautiful. This is the most beautiful thing we've ever seen. Cool. Where were you when I was fucking living in the bottom of a warehouse wearing a tent?
Broke as hell, yeah. So on the art auction, it was like a Peter Max highlighted event. Peter Max paints, like, the best I can tell, and again, if you're an art buff, you'll probably be offended by this. He paints about five things, mm-hmm. just over and over and over in different combinations. A lot of American flags, a lot of Statue of Liberty, a lot of person with an umbrella. And everything's like real red, white, and blue, and he signs his name, John, and everything. So there's one, you know, I like the America stuff. So there's a small, like, postcard size one, and I was like, we could probably afford that one.
Mm-hmm.
$4,500.
Is that a no?
Yeah, that's a hard no. That's a hard pass.
How far did you get?
As far money-wise?
Did you bid on it?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Oh, I thought you said we could probably afford it. I'm going to try bidding on it. I thought that's what you meant.
So the place is weird in that it's, you had to be invited to the showing, and that was just based off of some nonsense. But when you show up, they give you these little stickers.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically walk around and put the stickers on the items you like. That's what goes to auction. They don't auction everything in the room. And so I ask about that one. You know, there's people that wander around that'll tell you, you know, kind of starting place and reserve right. number. It starts at 45. I'm like, whoa, we can stop right there. That'll do, pig. I'm not going to be, not going to get that. Not ever, not now, not. I mean, it's fine. I didn't love it like that, but I thought if there was a chance to get something cool that I knew would have value, we'd look into it. They gave us a $200 gift card, and after shipping, I bought three pieces, and after shipping, I spent $60. If it tells you the kind of price range I'm in.
Yeah, there you go.
So, but I could see how people could get lost in that world.
So how did you get invited to this thing?
Just a nonsense. I think it was because... I was in a suite, and I think all suite guests get invited to the VIP showing.
Ah, got it.
So they have open door auctions too, but this one was like a private invite only. So I think it's anyone who bought art during the week, and anyone who is staying in a suite got invited. And you know, the $200, I was like, I'm going to buy something.
Right.
So I bought two paintings from some human that I couldn't tell you their name if I had a gun to my head right now. They're a set. Well, and they're signed prints,
which is always cool. Yes.
And then I bought a signed Jim Davis of Garfield fame.
Hmm.
He did a Norman Rockwell style Garfield photo.
Ooh, nice.
Or painting. Yeah. It's like a lady getting ready in the mirror, and it looks like any of those. And then you have to kind of pay attention. But if you look down, Garfield just standing in front of her, which is pretty neat. And it's hand signed. Not that he doesn't sign 24/7, but
so did you meet him or
no?
Was it just there?
It was there.
Got it.
Yeah.
No art shows for me this week.
Yeah, I'm not about. I'll probably never go to another one. It was an experience though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I went. This is Art Talk with Dan and Ryan,
or with Ryan. Actually, no, I guess I did have a little bit to contribute.
Yeah, yeah, this is Art Talk. Welcome. Keep creating. That's how we'll sign off every episode.
Speaking of art.
Let's hear this segue. Go ahead.
I got some comics this week.
Oh, yeah, that's not a bad segue.
I know.
That's not terrible.
I've got a Green Arrow Quiver number one. I've got a Green Arrow Longbow Hunters number 2 signed by Mike Grell, the artist. And I got an NYX number 3, which is the first appearance of X-23. I received those back from a certification company, which makes them worth infinitely more value.
How long ago did you send those off?
I sent those off. I got a deal at FC3 when I was there in June. June. They had the company there, and I, you know, turned those in for that. And it's kind of neat. He talked, because I asked him how the process worked, because I'm curious. And what they do is once they get them, they hermetically seal them in a vault until they get a chance to get to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason mine took a little longer is because I also had that, I also paid to have that signature verified, to, which basically they, you know, take it to all the different places and say, hey, is this, you know, you've seen it on
Pawn Stars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where they go and authenticate a signature. They do that and yeah, it's his, blah, blah, blah. So then they stamp that and they put it in a hermetically sealed, I don't know if you've ever seen them, but in a, basically a hard plastic vinyl case, and they have give them a rating, and they give a little bit of information about them, about the comic, and then they send it, wrap it all up nice, and send them back to you. So, and I received mine on Saturday. Super excited.
The crazy thing is, because it, you know, it is like a 6 month wait. It's almost like you got, it's like you got something.
Yeah.
Even though you already had it. Because right, you were apart from it for so long.
Yeah, it's funny. Right, it's like you got something, but they were my comics to start with.
Right, you just got your thing back, but it was so long that you're like, look at this thing I just got. Even though you've had it. It's kind of, so that's kind of nice.
Anybody who knows anything about, collects anything and gets anything certified knows that it's a big deal. So now my next step is going to be some sort of display for most of them. There is one I'm considering selling, but I don't know.
I have some video games that I would like to get certified. I just haven't. I mean, I don't have a good excuse. I just haven't.
Right. Yeah, I have never sent anything off, even though I've thought about it. Like you, I'd like to get this certified, but when I went to FC3, I knew, you know, because I was... If you remember correctly, I presented there. I presented a panel there, and mm-hmm. But I knew this. So you know, I had seen the schedule, and I knew they were going to be there. And I was like, okay, this is my chance. And plus, it was a deal. So they were running a deal for the con. So I got it for a lot less than would be expected. So really, really a pretty big win on my part. Super. It's stupid, I know, to a lot of people, but I'm super excited to have these.
I get it. I would like to do the same for some of my games. I have a sealed copy of Majora's Mask that I would really like to get certified.
Mm-hmm.
It won't rate nearly as high as your stuff because it's got a little tiny tear in the shrink wrap at the seam.
Ah.
Just from probably where the shrink wrap got too hot. Mm-hmm. It's a very small, but I mean, it is sealed steel. I have what I would consider to be almost a perfect copy of Perfection for the NES,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is probably not worth certifying. But I think I kind of like the idea of certifying goofy stuff too.
That's a lot of money to spend though.
Yeah. I don't know the price on video games because
gotta be similar.
Yeah, probably so. I don't know how much they can really do.
Well, let's put it just to give you an example. The 3A comics that I had, because certification isn't based off of what it's worth.
Right.
It's the flat rate to certify it.
Right.
In order for me to get the 3 just certified and the 1 signature verified. Remember, this was a deal. It was pretty. I got it at a deal at a con. It was $150.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And normally, I think it runs 90 to 125 for a certification. But I just got the sweet deal. So, because I was there, I don't know if they gave me a special for presenting, or if it was just a con special, or they were trying to just get people in. I don't know, but I got lucky. That's why I did it.
Yeah, I've got
super pumped
5 or 6 TurboGrafx games that I would like to get certified. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just some stuff, but I probably won't ever do it. It's time, energy, money. It's all the things. Mm-hmm. I probably just won't ever do it, but I would like to.
Well, think about certification is a lot of people do it because they want to know the value so they can sell it. It, you know, and greatly increases the value. The problem is I don't know if I'm ever going to sell any of this stuff. So it's just money I paid to have.
Well, I mean, I would like to have it more protected than it is.
Yeah, that too.
Like that Majora's Mask is a bad walk down the hallway away from opening itself if I drop it or something probably.
Right.
So I like the idea of protecting it, I guess I would say.
So yeah, I was super excited when I got those. And just
and then when I die, someone will like to sell them.
Someone might want
to sell them. Yeah, someone might want to sell those. So if I can make that better on them.
But I did do some research just out of curiosity to see, like, you know, what they go for on eBay and all that stuff. And honestly, it's kind of on some of them that I have, it's kind of a toss up because I can make some good money out of them. You know, it's tough.
Yeah, the bad part about selling stuff that you love is that when it's gone, you're like, I should have just kept it.
Then you don't have it. That's the problem. Then you don't have it.
Yeah, that's the collector side's like, that's why I just sell things that don't have any value to me, and that's not any video games.
That's what I would need to do, too, and I don't know. I'm hemming and hawing. And
I was talking to someone the other day, and we were talking about games, and they said, I'd like to get a Dreamcast. I said, I probably have 7 or 8 of them.
Yeah.
They're like, how much would you take for one? I'm like, I don't know where any of them are, okay? Stop pressuring me. Like, you go get your own Dreamcast. It's not Dreamcast Depot over here. Even though a man will never need 7 to 8 Dreamcast.
I
do not like the idea of getting rid of that stuff.
Dreamcast is a fun system.
Great system before its time. And there's not a ton of them out there. And 7 or 8 years ago, I mean, you could get them for $10, $15.
Yeah.
You know, now I'm seeing Dreamcast sell for $40 and $50 now in good shape with, you know, a game. You know, they're just, that stuff's getting harder to find. And when someone wants something of mine, I'm like, go get your own. And they're offering, you know, decent money. They want to pay for it. They don't want me to give it to them, but I'm like, go get yours.
To be fair, you do have 7 or 8.
Yeah. And it's going to stay that way.
Yeah. 6 or 7 is not.
I have a sealed GameCube I would also like to get certified.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
Yeah. That'd probably be really expensive, but it's cool.
It is cool.
Oh, man. Dumb stuff. I love it. Can't get enough of it.
This has been Collector's Corner.
Right. I'm thinking about just stopping right now and just going to look at the stuff I got. That's how, if you want to ever tell if you really have a passion for something, if you can just go look at it and feel some sort of way, you probably do.
Oh, yeah. Like when I, what's the first thing I did when I pulled them out?
You sent pictures of them.
Right. I got all squatted down on the ground and took pictures of them.
I mean, it's just, so I have too much, and that's, I'm not trying to, like, I've spent years getting it. It's not like I just have all this money to dump into that hobby, but.
Yeah. Humble brag. I get it.
My point is, like, I have so much stuff. I don't remember everything I have.
Right.
But sometimes when I have to organize a room or a closet, I start going through there. I get lost.
And you're like, oh.
Yeah, just like that. Just like, you know, you got your comic sent back to you. But I'm like going through a closet. I'm like, ooh, that is awesome. And I'm like,
totally forgot I had that.
It's yours, jackass. But just like rediscovering is part of it for me. And I'm like, I would buy that again. I would buy that from me is how much I love that.
Yep. I know exactly the feeling.
Like I have unfolded original Xbox, like, boxes.
Yeah.
Like, that have never been folded. I'm going to guess they carry a value of somewhere between, like, 3 cents and 5 cents a piece.
Right.
But I'm like, where else do you get an unfolded, uncirculated Xbox box? You know? Like, that doesn't, as far as I know, there's probably only some of those out there.
Right.
Not a lot.
I get it.
That's how you become a collector. Some people like to call it hoarding, but if you keep it centralized, it's not.
It's just collecting. It's not. No. Well, I think one of the main differences between collecting and hoarding is the organizational process involved in it. I mean, hoarders tend to leave stuff just a walking trail back.
Let's
and forth.
Be easy on that. Let's be easy on that classification.
Why is that?
A lot of stuff. Smaller house, you know. You know, sometimes you have to carve a path.
No, yeah, no, that's hoarding.
It's only hoarding when you start like saving newspapers and washing out Ziploc bags.
To a point, I suppose.
I have a rather large, rather unorganized collection. And the reason it's unorganized is because I don't have a single space
to put it in
that would house everything.
Right. Like I have my room, so.
Yeah, I could fill that room up and couldn't present anything. Like nothing would be nice to look at.
I mean, just look at that back there.
Yeah, but see, I would have to stack totes to the ceiling in a room. Right. And that's not fun to look at.
Oh, I have a bunch of stuff that I don't have out. I got it packed in my closet.
Yeah, I just don't.
Well, another problem is I have a lot of stuff out that I actually have displayed.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it I've opened, but I have all the boxes. So
me too.
I just have a bunch of boxes, a bunch of empty boxes sitting in a closet piling up.
And I hate that too. And people are like, why are you keeping the boxes? I'm like, look, you don't understand. I don't expect you to understand.
No, just stop talking about it.
That might be worth more than the thing that you're looking at. Like the box is probably worth more than the thing. So just stop. I know what I'm doing. Just stop. You know, one day when I'm old, maybe I'll just let it all go, but maybe I'll also die with it happily.
Mm-hmm. Anything could happen.
Maybe they'll line me in Dreamcast.
All seven of them. You'll hook up all seven of them.
They'll cross my hands right across the forest screen N64. Rest my feet across my Pokemon Pikachu N64.
One thing I do consider is I consider some of this stuff like a nest egg, like a retirement stuff. Because
I don't know if it is, because I don't know if you'll ever sell it.
Some of it, not all of it. Some of it.
I hate when people are like, how much is all your stuff worth? I'm like, zero. Not for sale. Like, I don't know what it's worth because
I do know what it's worth for, because I believe it or not, I have stuff insured.
It's not worth selling to me. Like, I would rather have it than the money.
Yeah, I have stuff insured.
Yeah, I have just a flat electronics thing on mine, not itemized. But it wouldn't be worth whatever they gave me for insurance. It wouldn't be worth whatever someone bought it for. Like, none of that stuff is worth it to me.
Right.
Because sometimes you just want to get out your Mountain Dew Xbox.
Sometimes.
And look at it because it has a Mountain Dew logo on the top. And that's wrong and beautiful at the same time.
There's nothing wrong about that.
Yeah.
That is perfect. That is the perfect team up right there.
You're like, I get behind this. Yeah, I get behind this.
Yeah.
It's like Mountain Dew too. It's not Code Red.
It's a real Mountain Dew. Fuck that Code Red shit.
It's like a crazy-ass green color.
Actually, I haven't had a Mountain Dew in a long time, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah.
Code Red only ranks above Baja Blast in my book. I do not like Code Red. I really don't like Baja Blast.
I don't like Baja Blast at all.
Now, I will get behind OG Mountain Dew, and then next in line is the Live Wire, the orange one.
Yes. Yeah.
The orange one's good.
I like the kickstarts, too, that are made by Mountain Dew.
I like the kickstarts a lot. I drink the orange one.
The orange one's good. I like
Taco
Black
Bell's
cherry.
Got the orange one on tap.
Do they?
Yeah. You can just go get jazzed up there.
And I also like black cherry, and I like grape.
Have you tried the Mountain Dew spiked lemonade?
I have not.
Yeah, the yellow can of that's not bad either. It's like yellow and black. It's spiked with Mountain Dew.
Oh, yeah. That's not spiked.
That's what it's called, spiked. Like, that's the name of the can.
Well, Mountain Dew's getting it wrong, then.
I'm not saying they're not. I'm just, don't attack me. I'm not. I wasn't like, man, it kicked it up a notch with this.
Well, quit spreading the false message.
It's good,
fake
though.
News.
It's good. Have it. Try it.
I'm not drinking Mountain Dew anymore.
Is that doctor recommended, or you just...
No, just a change I made.
Just grew out of it.
Just me. I didn't grow out of it. I decided I needed it was too much.
Yeah.
Between that and Monsters, I only have probably maybe one Monster a day. The rest of it's water.
I've become real judgy with people drinking energy drinks, and I don't know why. Really? I don't know why I care. But I see somebody with like, I see people at work that come in with like four of them in a day.
That's a lot.
And I feel like there's a part of me that needs to go tell those people how unhealthy it is, but I know they know, so I don't.
You're getting old, bro.
I know, but I'm like, how irresponsible? Because two things, they're bad for you and they're expensive. You're in bad health and broke, so it's unacceptable for me to see that person with that.
Oh, I don't. They're not expensive around here. A lot of times you can get two for $3.
I see somebody rolling in with four Red Bulls. I know that they drop like $12 on that.
Red Bulls are expensive, yes. I always drank Monsters.
My dad liked to drink the Rippets, which is like the cheap energy drinks.
Rippets? I don't even know what those are.
They put a little fruit juice in there, a little kerosene, seal it up, send it out.
Oh, that'll keep you awake.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
A little paint thinner.
Might set you on fire, too, but hey.
Get you going, woo! You know what I'm saying?
That's right. You're up and rolling. While you're on fire.
Asshole's bleeding, but you don't care.
That's right. You did a little bit. You stopped, dropped, and rolled just a little bit faster.
I knew a guy. Forgive me if I've told this story, but I have the memory of a goldfish. I know a guy who was in the Army, in the Air Force. He said they weren't allowed to take energy drinks when they were going to do any kind of aerial stuff, I guess for obvious reasons. But they found a loophole in that you could cook with energy drinks.
Oh, shit.
So he said they would take the grape Rippets, because apparently that's also what they had access to. And they would pour them in a skillet, get it really hot, pour them in there and where it was sizzling, and they would drop bacon down in it.
Oh, my God.
And they would cook it until it almost caramelized, like it was thick and syrupy. And they called it energy bacon. I'm like, that sounds terrible. He's like, oh, yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But it would get you going.
The point is you would get it around.
I thought he was dropping some knowledge about a hot recipe on me. He's like, no, it's bad. But you would be pumped, and there's no rule against cooking with it. You just can't drink it on a day where you're going up.
That's funny.
Yeah. He was specific, though, with the grape Rippet.
It's got to be grape. Grape and bacon.
I'm thinking, if it tastes like shit, why does it matter
what flavor it is?
Right. Why can't I use the orange if it tastes like ass either way? Because that's where my mind would be like an orange.
Let me try a different color.
Breakfasty type situation.
Let me try something different. Maybe this one will be good.
Right. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. We don't always ramble for 30 minutes, but sometimes we do. Also, when you hear the news, you'll understand why.
We got to talk about what we played, too.
Oh, yeah. This podcast posts every Monday, 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on podcast services around the world, around the globe, whether it be spherical or flat, like a coaster. Flat.
Would you stop lending credence to that theory? Stop saying it all the time.
I don't want to.
I do.
I think I'm more so. If you go like 5 or 6 episodes back, we realized that I'm pretty sure you were on the same. We didn't know what flat earth, what they thought it looked like.
And
then when
true.
Producer Gerald pulled up a picture, I realized it was like a coaster.
Yeah.
Which is maybe even more ridiculous because you still think it's round, kind of.
My question is how do these people who think that it's shaped like that, how is it that they're able to get from one side, you could go all the way around the circumference to the other side? You don't fall off.
Maybe they think
what's their rationale on how that happens?
Maybe they think you can go. It's just like a coaster, though. It's not a ball. It's like a disc that you can go around.
That's just as ridiculous as being a sphere. So what's the fucking problem?
I don't know.
I'm not even lending credence to their theory because they're fucking idiots.
I just never realized I thought they thought it was like a sheet. I didn't realize they thought it was like a coaster.
Like a bed sheet?
Yeah, just a flat plane with like earth hanging down, but like that was it. Like you can't go. I don't know. I just never thought that they thought it was like a coaster.
I think they don't think at all. I think they're morons.
They might be.
Oh, they are.
They might be.
And if you're a flat earther and you listen to this, yeah, it's you I'm talking about.
Ear Muffet.
That's you I'm talking about. Yeah. I got no shame.
You gotta.
No, I reject stupidity. It doesn't matter.
I was going to say, you just got to... Sometimes you're wrong. And it's not too late to realize that it's definitely a sphere. Or a ball. I think it's not actually a sphere.
It's spherical.
Yeah. I think I've heard Neil deGrasse Tyson explain that it's not exactly a sphere.
No, it's not.
It's
not a perfect circle.
But it's definitely not a coaster.
Not to be confused with the band, A Perfect Circle.
Rest in peace.
I haven't heard from them in a bit.
Maybe one of their people died.
Didn't they have a couple people from Smashing Pumpkins?
I don't know.
Wasn't James Iha in Perfect
The
Circle?
Last thing anyone wants me to do is to talk about music.
That's true.
It'll just be a string of me either not knowing or being incorrect.
I don't know. You'd love you. Not if we talk about the Backstreet Boys. You'd be all over that.
I don't dislike the Backstreet Boys. I don't dislike Nickelback. I don't dislike Smash Mouth. I don't dislike Hootie and the Blowfish. Those are all bands I'm willing to talk about.
They're going back out on tour.
Hootie?
Yeah.
Let Her Cry.
They're coming here, and I can't get enough of all the people that are talking about how cool it is that Hootie and the Blowfish are going back on tour.
You should go.
I'm not going.
Should go.
I'm not a Hootie.
Really?
Person.
It's upsetting.
I can listen to them, not enough to pay money to go to a ticket.
I would spend $50 to go to Hootie.
I would not. No. No way.
That's one single ticket at 50 or two at 25.
What?
I would buy one ticket for 50 or two for 25. I wouldn't pay two tickets for 50 is what I'm saying.
Got it.
Like a total.
The total you're going to spend to see them, no matter how many people are going, is $50.
Correct. Now,
got it.
I'll do 50 without taxes. You could add taxes.
Well, that's good because they're going to. And fees.
I don't like fees. I'll tell you that right now.
I don't like fees either. You know what? And I've never understood this. This pisses me off. Why don't, before you like get to the point where you're paying for something, the price of the product should have all taxes and shit included in it already.
You want to walk up, see how much that thing costs total, in totality. Yeah. I always wonder with fees, it's like, what, just put those in the price.
Right. Just already add them in.
Don't give me no stinking fees. You can charge it. Just put it in the price and slap that on the sticker on the shelf.
Yeah, why don't they do that? Same thing with taxes.
I don't need a honey mustard fee that I didn't know about sneaking up on me. It's like, well, this wasn't $2.
Right.
You fuck face.
You go grab a candy bar, it's 99 cents. Take it up, that'll be $1.08.
I don't have $1.08.
Why couldn't it just say $1.08?
That's why you always see kids so confused.
Yeah.
Because they get $1 out and they grab a 99 cent candy bar and they go up there and the person's like, that's not enough.
Right.
It is 99. This is one full.
Right.
I'll have my candy bar, please, and thank you.
That's what they do. We mess up our children because we lie to them right from the start. 99 cents. Ha ha. Screw you, little kid.
Also, some fat guy's going to shimmy down the chimney soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's also not true.
And a giant bunny is going to bring eggs to you.
Yeah, every time your teeth fall out, a magical fairy breaks and enters into the home and leaves you $5 under your pillow while they watch you sleep.
If there's any children listening, number one, stop it. Number two, we're just kidding.
Correct. But enough about tradition and non-tradition. I don't want to project what you celebrate.
Right. We're not presume that your traditions are our traditions.
Yeah.
Because traditions are personal to each and every one of us.
Yeah. Maybe you like a nice turducken on Christmas.
Ooh, or maybe a tofu ham. Is that a thing?
Mm-mm.
No, it's tofu turkey though, right?
I'm sure tofu ham is a thing, but I won't.
You refuse to acknowledge it, right?
Yeah, I won't. No, hard pass. Again,
and tofu nothing.
Yeah, a thousand nopes is what I'll have.
I don't do tofu.
Let's talk about electronic gaming. Is what I want to call it. home electronic gaming.
Did you play anything good this week?
Well, everything I play is good. So
that's, we're going to agree to disagree. Go ahead.
After the show last week, I felt motivated.
Mm-hmm.
Went and jumped in the Invisible Hours, scooped up the Platinum.
All right.
The Plat. Never going to play it again. If you're interested in that game, understand it's not really a game. It's like a play that you get to control the time of. Fast forward, stop, pause, listen, rewind, zoom in, zoom out. You don't really do anything. You're just listening to the different acts.
Mm-hmm.
It's a murder mystery, but you don't solve it. You just watch. There's some collectibles to find. It's more of an experience.
Yeah.
Not a bad one, but not, don't buy that like I'm going to go play a game. It's probably 6 to 8 hours for the Platinum. So a pretty easy Platinum.
Yeah, not too many hours. So you must have played it for what, 4 hours then to finish mm-hmm. it up?
Yeah, it was not good. It was too much time.
How was it walking out of VR after that?
Oh, fine. I've got a sturdy set of VR legs. Yeah, I was fine. I just didn't have 4 hours to play it.
That's
the problem. Yeah. Just sitting on a pile of laundry playing it, you know? But I don't regret it. I would do it again. I'm glad I finished that game. I think if you could find that game for like $15 to $9.99, I think it's probably worth it. If you're really into like narrative or story-driven, there's a couple twists. You're like, oh, that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
It's kind of hokey, though. It's kind of... It's fine. It's dinner theater. It's fine. That game is playable outside of VR. No part of me suggests that you do that. It's just going to look like a PS2 game out of VR. So, I don't suggest that.
So, it's not... Got it.
Rocket Pass Season 2 is live.
Yes, it is.
So, playing a lot of Rocket League lately.
Yes, I am.
Smash Brothers Ultimate.
Yes.
Playing a lot of that on the Switch. Yeah, it's Smash Brothers. I'm like a casual recreational Smash Brothers player.
That's fair.
I don't want to play against other people. I don't need to get my ass beat to know that I'm not as good as you. Like, I already know that. Mm-hmm. But it does have the World of Light, which is a single player mode, and I am enjoying that.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm enjoying that. Jumped in Red Dead Online just to get the free gold bars. Maybe Onrush once. I don't know.
Was it this week we played Onrush?
I don't know.
I think we played Onrush Sunday night. Yeah.
Yeah.
We played Onrush Sunday night. Because then a Rocket Pass went live on Monday and Onrush.
That's right. I didn't want to play it on Sunday because I knew I'd be in Rocket League. I think that's it for me.
Two of the games are absolutely the same. I played a bunch of Rocket League this week, and I played Onrush Sunday night. I also remember, I think I told you guys, and you as well, Ryan, that I had been invited to the Anthem Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
So I jumped into that on Sunday afternoon and played some of that. There is a NDA attached to it, so I can't talk much about it. The only thing I will say is, after playing the Alpha, I am 100% more interested in that game. I think that game is going to be more than what I thought it was going to be.
That's good.
So I am now firmly in the camp of, yeah, I'm going to be picking up Anthem.
You're a believer.
I'm a believer. Believer.
A believer.
I'm not a believer.
He's settled down.
I don't care. I know he's married now.
Yeah. To a Baldwin.
To old Stephen Baldwin's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to be loving that.
They're tight.
Old Steve.
Yeah, they're tight. They're buds.
Who's your favorite Baldwin?
Alec.
Alec's your favorite?
Mm-hmm.
I've always been partial to Stephen. I like Stephen.
I'll be honest with you. I could do without all of them. And I mean that with all due respect. But if I was going to choose a favorite, it would be the most talented Baldwin.
Oh, I think Steven's pretty talented.
What about
Usual
William?
Suspects? Billy Baldwin? Yeah, I've never been sold on Billy Baldwin.
You know, every day he's like, fuck. Because they
tried to make him a thing in like the early 90s.
Yeah, but you know how frustrating it'd be to come from a family of everyone that does the same thing successfully and you're just not as successful?
Oh, no, there's another Baldwin that's less successful than him.
Like Rick. There's like a Baldwin I don't even know about, probably. Like Teddy Baldwin.
No, it's not Rick. It's
Teddy.
No, there's Billy.
Teddy
there's
B.
Alec. There's Steven. Daniel.
Daniel Baldwin. Dan Baldwin. Is he like an investment broker?
No, he's an actor.
Never heard of him.
He was in a John Carpenter's Vampires. He had a pretty big role in.
Dan Baldwin, nice to meet you.
Danny Baldwin.
Does he go by Danny?
No, he goes by Daniel.
He uses the full Daniel.
Just like Steve goes by Steven.
Steve Baldwin's Alec. A strong, powerful name.
Alec goes by Alec.
Because he's the best Baldwin.
His full name. But just, William is the only one who goes by Billy.
For the record, I think Alec's also the biggest dick of them all.
Yeah.
He's got a complex thing going.
He's got a... Yeah, he can't figure out if he's a good guy or a bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't know. Old Stephen Baldwin, he's born again, so he's pretty into the...
Yeah, he is.
Into the church and that kind of thing. Which, hey, good for him.
This has been Baldwin Babble with Dan and Ryan.
There we go. That's it. We should call it Baldwin Babble and just have a podcast where we just talk about their movies.
Exclusively talk about Baldwin.
Exclusive. Yeah. Everything the Baldwins have done, we'll just
all
discuss
Baldwin
that.
All the time.
We'll just discuss it for an hour. Baldwin Babble.
Not the worst idea we've ever had, remarkably.
I think it's my favorite idea we've ever had.
Remember when we wanted to call something Yum Yum in My Tum Tum and realized that that's
probably bad.
That's a
that means
Urban Dictionary
different.
Type situation that I was unaware of before saying it.
That means something different.
But I'm fairly confident that Baldwin Babble is not already a show.
Me too.
Welcome to Baldwin Babble.
Yeah, good old Billy Baldwin. Golly, he's my least favorite. I stand by that.
Let's talk about the newest.
Oh, can we please? Trust me, the first hour was more exciting than this last 10 minutes is going to be.
The newest. Mail. I don't know. I was going to say mail call, but we're not talking about mail.
We're not. And keep in mind here, listeners, that traditionally around Christmas time, news can be a little scarce.
Cut us a fucking break.
And uninteresting.
All right, cut us a break. It was a real struggle to get these.
Yeah, this is what this week in news is what we traditionally here in my house like to refer to as a shit show.
Yeah, so we're gonna blaze through these pretty quick. So the Epic Store got announced at the Game Awards.
Mm-hmm.
One of the great perks of the Epic Store is the split that's going to happen between the Epic Store and the publishers.
Right.
The creators, however, you know, whoever's publishing that game. So typically, Steam has always done a 70-30 split. And I believe in some cases it was a 80-20 if certain criteria were met.
Right.
With Steam. So they decided to flip it on its head and do an 80. Was it? It was a 12%. Is that right? For them,
yes.
They're taking 12%.
Yep.
88-12 was the new split. That's what the Epic Store was going to do. So then, Discord's popped up now. And I just want to stress, this is all a win. It's the whole reason I'm talking about it.
Right.
Discord's now popped up and said, that's not even good enough. We're going to do 90-10.
Which basically what that means is Discord is only going to distribute games for publishers. The publishers get to keep 90% of any money made from those. Discord is only taking 10% to cover operating costs.
So, you know, there's a lot of nuts and bolts here, but it's funny because Discord says... Why did we take 70-30? Because that's the message had always been that, that it takes the 30% to publish and maintain and all that. But they're like, it doesn't. It doesn't take 30%. It actually only takes around 10%.
So they're putting this into play.
Going to do that. It's going to happen sometime next year. They didn't give an official date. So Steam is obviously going to have to change here. I think Epic will probably keep the 88-12. It's fine. We're talking 2%.
Right.
And obviously, the Epic Store with the 200 million Fortnite players built in is obviously going to bring... I think there's like 3 games on the Epic Store right now, so it's obviously going to bring some eyes and some attention to your games. Steam is not going away by any means, but they're going to have to restructure the 70-30 split. Mm-hmm. And Discord, I mean, that's great, man. If I was an indie developer, that's where I would want my game. Yep. Wherever I can get the most bang for my buck. And I still get a buck. So I just thought it was a cool story because ultimately developers, publishers, and people who play games win.
Yeah. I mean, it's 2 more spaces where their games can be, and they're getting more money for their game being on those spaces. It's a big win for developers.
I mean, think about it. If there's someone out there who
smaller ones, yeah,
who said I want to make a game, but there's no money in it. Now maybe it's starting to seem like they're at least I won't lose money,
right?
So, I don't know. I just thought it was a cool story. I also think this is kind of neat. Fortnite, Epic Games, I should say. I don't know why I said Fortnite. The stupid title is clickbaity because they just want to say Fortnite somewhere in it.
They do it all the time.
You sons of bitches. Epic is going to start sharing its crossplay technology that they use in Fortnite on the Unreal Engine's website, meaning that any size developer, big or small, is going to get access to the same technology that they use to make crossplay work. You got to assume that Sony and Nintendo are probably on board with this, or Xbox and Nintendo, but I don't know where Sony lands on this.
Mm-mm. Yeah, Sony. Well, party poopers.
As well documented, Fortnite is the only game that utilizes crossplay right now, and Sony is some real sketchy messaging around it, in addition to calling it a beta.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know.
The problem is it shouldn't be a beta, Sony. We know it works.
Right.
Of course, this is the same company that lets you change your name and lose all your save files, so...
I just love, I've talked about it a lot. I think Epic is making the right decisions with Fortnite to keep it relevant.
Yeah, they are.
I love that they have their own launcher because competition breeds innovation.
Exactly.
And for far too long, I know there's the other platforms to download, and GOG and that kind of thing. But, I mean, for too long, Steam has been everyone's answer. Mm-hmm. And I know that the Epic Store is missing a lot right now. The launcher is missing a lot, but they'll get there.
Yes, they will.
But I like this. I like the messaging around this particular feature here that they're giving to.
Well, yeah. What Epic seems to be doing here, really, I would say since the launch of Fortnite, Epic has really started making decisions that are very much gamer and developer friendly. Which isn't always what you see from these big companies.
Right. So I'm just going to read their, this is part of their blog where they talked about going live with this cross-platform. They said, successfully launching and operating a live online game requires a suite of services that go far beyond the functionality of traditional game engine. These services are expensive to build, test, and harden in the real-world conditions, but once operational and relatively inexpensive to scale to more games and more users. At Epic, our goal is to help game developers succeed. As a developer, you're free to choose, mix, and match solutions from Epic and others as you wish. Nothing about that sounds corporate. Like, nothing about, like, making games is expensive, and as a game maker, you shouldn't have to fuck with this stuff.
Yep, that's what's nice, is Epic knows that everybody has eyes on them because they're making gazillions and gazillions of dollars off of Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
But what Epic is doing is essentially what they're coding, as far as the message goes, is, you know, we know we make a lot of money and we have it to invest in this, And that's where the money comes. And that's where the money is needed.
And
but once we have it perfected, we don't think, we see no reason not to share this because it's best for everybody and all the hard work's been done.
And everybody who's like, yeah, but they make money off the engine. Yeah, no shit.
Yeah,
but we're very aware that they make money that way. That's fine. It is still a business, okay? They're not charity. Mm-hmm. It is still a business. Right. But so when they switched over to the 8812,
yep.
they made it retroactive. Like they gave back to people who were using the Unreal engine. You know, they gave back that money. They also when they shut down Paragon, they gave all the assets, like $12 million worth of assets, to anyone who wanted them.
Right.
Because they knew people were upset and they wanted to give people the ability to build that game outside of there. I don't know. I just feel like they also keep making really good moves.
Yeah, they do. Well, they have a very, they seem to have, all these moves they're making are pretty much, seem to be saying to gamers and developers, look, guys, we're all in this together. Let's help each other out.
Yeah.
If we do that, we can't do anything but get better.
So a quick timeline, cross-platform parties and matchmaking will be coming in Q3, Q4 of 2019 to all platforms. Cross-platform data storage, cloud saves, and saved games is coming Q2 of 2019. Cross-platform achievements and trophies coming Q3 of 2019. Now, remember, that is for the engine itself. That doesn't mean that Sony is going to just open it up by that time frame.
Right.
Though I'm sure Epic knows what's going on with all that. Mortal Kombat 11 may have a special guest character that I think you might enjoy.
I still won't get it, but I would enjoy it.
You won't get it.
I won't be getting Mortal
Kombat.
But
you think it's a possibility they'll get this character?
I think it's a possibility they'll get this character.
Spawn.
That'd be cool.
Yep. In a Reddit AMA, Todd McFarlane, creator of Spawn.
Todd McFarlane, yep.
Was asked to allow Spawn in MK11. His answer was a simple, I believe he's on his way. Like, sound like it's already a done deal.
That's right.
Also, fuck the surprise. I like when somebody just says something, and you're like, you're allowed to say that? They're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Tired of all this shit. Like, I just say whatever I want.
I just tell you, I just think it's coming. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool, but Mortal Kombat's known for this. I mean, didn't they have Freddy Krueger at one time? And Leatherface, Jake, right?
Yeah.
Am I, like, way off base with
not
that?
No, Freddy or? And the Turtles were in...
And Injustice,
yeah.
Too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Obviously, the answer's kind of cryptic, so it's not a guarantee that Spawn will be a guest character. But McFarlane may just have not realized that it was not a public announcement yet.
Right.
Yeah, that's a busy dude, man.
Todd?
Yeah.
He's all over the place, man.
Big Todd. Big Todd. Call him T when we hang out.
I don't know.
We drink tea while I call him T.
I just call him Broski. That's what I call him.
Bud.
Doesn't he seem like a Broski?
He seems nice. I met him in a line of a sea of people, and he was very nice, and I'm sure he didn't want to be at that point. But he was still very nice.
I know.
And if I was him, I probably would have been like, fuck off.
Signed my comic for me.
He did. He did, he did, he did. Nice gentleman. Shout out to Todd McFarlane. Story wasn't really about you, but shout out to you. PS4 exclusive Detroit Become Human. Human. I don't know what I was going to say there.
Human.
I was going to say Become Human, which
humane?
Is not how anyone says human.
Maybe you were going to say humane.
No, I think I was going to say human.
That's not a thing, though, ever.
I know.
You're just making shit up now.
Detroit Become Human.
Human.
Become human. Anyways, it's crossed a new sales milestone. The PS4 exclusive by French developer Quantic Dreams has now passed 2 million in sales, with achievement of coming around 5 months after the game was released in May. According to Quantic Dreams, Detroit is now the fastest selling game ever, meaning it's outperforming its PS3 games Beyond Two Souls and Heavy Rain. But the part no one knows is if Detroit is still even profitable.
Right.
It was cooking for a long time. They obviously didn't go into whether it's profitable, as companies usually don't. So it's interesting. they did say that they left an imprint in 2 to 3 million people's minds and counting. So I assume that that's the number they're saying of unique playthroughs that have happened.
Right.
But with that game being as tricky as it is, I don't know how they calculate a playthrough.
I don't know. There's
because I went back and did scenes.
Right.
But I didn't play through the whole game. But I'm sure there's a set number. On average, it takes whatever 33 scenes to happen to complete the game. And every time 33 scenes happen, they probably count that as a new playthrough.
Right.
Even if it's not a full playthrough. I don't know how that works. That game is amazing. It was like $15 or $9 on the last sale.
Yeah, it's a real good game. You should get it.
Yeah, you should.
If you haven't played it yet and you have a PS4, you should definitely get it.
You should get it. Just, you know what? Go ahead and get it.
Just do it.
Just pause this right now. Go get it. Come back. Play it. Play the rest of this, not that. And play that too. Play on both, same time.
After you play the rest of it.
Play on both, same time. Volume as loud as it'll go on both. Because you're a psychopath.
Now turn us up as loud as you can while you're playing Detroit.
Crank that shit.
There's no story there.
Crank that shit. The NES and SNES Classic, you should also get those while they're around because it sounds like they're not going to make them forever, Dan.
I got them.
Did you think they were going to make them forever?
No.
Forever and always?
No.
They would never take these away from you?
No.
Yeah, well, somebody
that's
did
why I got,
because Nintendo,
that's why I bought them.
Nintendo had to tell people, we're not going to make these forever.
Yep.
The NES and SNES Classic will end production in the Americas soon. Nintendo has confirmed in an interview with a Hollywood Reporter. Big Reg, R-Dog as Dan calls him, stated that no more mini consoles will be produced and that those already on shelves will be the last ones sold. We've been clear that at least from the America's perspective, these products are going to be available through the holiday season. And once they sell out, they are gone. That is it. Now, I want to defend Nintendo a little bit. That is clearly what they said when they brought the production back for the NES. And that was the messaging around the launch of the SNES.
That's right. They're not changing anything that they've already said here. They are simply reiterating what people apparently didn't believe about Nintendo, who have apparently never dealt with a Nintendo product before in their life. Of course this was going to happen. Not only did they say it, but it's Nintendo.
So anyone that's got your underpants in a tussle, in a wad, sweet wad in the underpants, needs to calm down because they told you this already. Big R is just telling you, R-Dog is just telling you what, just hitting you with a little gospel.
Well, RFA.
They're going away.
RFA is laying it out on the line.
Yeah. Do people call him RFA? They should.
I don't know. They should.
More people call him RFA.
That's right.
I always wanted to be in a tank top, too. I'm just really wanting to be in a tank top.
You know, if he was in a tank top. No, he needs. You know what? If Reggie grew a mustache, he would look like Mario.
Reggie looks the most like a wax
Nintendo character.
Like a wax version of himself as any person I've ever seen. Reggie looks like the one you would see somewhere, like at a museum, at a wax museum. I've also had the pleasure of meeting Reggie. He was he seemed like a very nice man.
Is he a giant?
Yes.
He looks like a giant.
He is very large and very like that's the way he is on the stage was the way that he was. Now he was around a large group of people.
He's just super awkward as a person.
He is just very Reggie.
Is what you're telling me.
Sounds like he's reading off a prompter 24/7. I think it's because he's thinking about what he's going to say because, you know, the man can't bust ass without it making a headline.
Right.
So that's probably pretty annoying. If I ask you to wager a guess on what game was Googled the most in 2018, do you think you could have figured it out?
Yeah.
So Google.
Do you want me to take my guess?
I don't think it's necessary, but you can.
I'm going to say it's probably Fortnite.
It is Fortnite. The end of the year is pretty much upon us, and Google has released its annual year-end search data to provide a look back at trends. And it was Fortnite that took the top spot. Rounding out the rest of the top five were Red Dead Redemption 2, Fallout 76, Far Cry 5, and God of War. Expanding the top 10 included a handful of other popular games with some surprising inclusions like Kingdom Come Deliverance, which I would Howard, our friend Marshall 205, probably responsible for putting this on the Google search list. Because he talks about this game always for some reason. He's never played it, but he wants to.
It must be one he wants.
Yeah.
And my nephew played it and finished it.
Zom's Royale, a browser-based game. That was also on the top 10. Zom's Royale.
Have you?
Mm-mm. Sure haven't.
Huh. I'm not one of those that are responsible for that, then.
Fortnite's popularity actually transcended the video games category and was also the most popular GIF. You heard me right. GIF. It's not peanut butter, folks.
It's not a GIF?
I don't give a fuck who said it. It's not peanut butter. It's the most popular gift search as well for 2018.
I believe that.
People want to send those flossing gifts out. The folks flossing.
Who doesn't? Speaking of Google.
Okay. I don't know where we're going right now. So
they had to go up in front of Capitol Hill this week. The CEO of Google went in front of the Capitol Hill to take some questions regarding Google's algorithms.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, boy, I just want to let everyone know out there, your government has no idea what technology is or how it works. If you don't believe me, I paid attention to this. If you don't believe me, just Google it. Just Google some of the questions that were asked and some of the statements that were made, and understand that these are not the people you want in charge of your technology in any way, shape, or form. Did you pay any attention to it, Ryan?
I did not.
Oh my God, it was so bad. I think I said something along the lines of, it's like when these government officials start discussing technology, it's like a three-year-old explaining why a purple T-Rex with a mounted machine gun would be able to beat up both Superman and Wolverine, even if they had a pterodactyl on their team. I think it was something along those lines. Because these people, they don't get it. They're complaining about their iPhones to Google. Google's like, we don't make the iPhone.
Can you imagine the amount of... And I'm not defending Google here, because I think they are kind of shady in some of their practices.
Yeah, well, I mean, all of
them. But can you imagine the amount of data they are, like the amount of insight that they are responsible for housing, collecting, distributing? Like the amount of responsibility they have?
Yeah, like, well, I mean, and that's the thing.
They know as much about you as I do.
Right.
That's scary.
It is. And the thing is, and that's what part of the concern is that eventually they're going to get to the point where they are, you know, brokering or trafficking in information. If it doesn't happen already. And that's part of the concern.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or where I take issue is that the people that are supposed to be looking out for this have no idea what this is, how it works, how to explain anything. They're not doing their research. And these are the people we are entrusting to, you know, protect us and take care of us with these things.
Right.
And they're asking how come their iPhone doesn't work right to Google. You know. There's got to be some basic understanding and research.
But why don't the iPhones work, Google?
But something about an iPhone. I can't remember.
Do you wish
something
he would
about
just
something popping up on her iPhone? And he
do
was
you
like,
wish he would have just stood up and pulled his junk out?
And he's like, Senator, we don't make the iPhone.
And then Tim Cook popped up, kicked the door in.
You know, you call somebody in for a little hearing, you know, to get to the bottom of some things, and you're the tech guy, and you come in there, and they're asking you these questions. What the fuck are you really afraid of?
That's what they should have said. He should have slammed his hands down on the desk, the table, taken his tie off, and said, "What are you afraid of? What are you afraid
no,
of?"
No, I mean, if you're the tech guy, you know what questions they're going to ask, and they're ridiculous.
But he should have asked them, "What are you afraid of?" And then he just got up and walked out.
What are you afraid of?
That I'll tell you what was.
See, it was bad.
I'll tell you what was uncomfortable to watch was when Zuckerberg.
Ooh.
was getting grilled.
Ooh. All around. Because
bad on both sides.
You've got people that know nothing asking an AI question.
Right. An emotionalist circuit board of a person.
That's right.
Who was, in fairness.
Zuckerberg cameoed in Detroit, by the way.
In fairness, he was the smartest guy in the room.
Well, yeah.
But I think he probably usually is.
Yeah.
What a bland.
You can tell he's not used to having.
What a bland human being, though. What a bland human. Shout out to Facebook. They've fucking up Oculus, though, so you could stop that. I read a strange article yesterday talking about, and forgive me for not knowing where it came from, but it was talking about VR. Was it successful in 2018? And I thought the article was very interesting because they say that it's not. The person writing really? The article, but they give PlayStation VR a pass in almost every category because they seem to be the only outlier that got most things right.
Yeah.
But it would appear that when you lump it together, VR was not successful in 2018 because so many competitors that aren't doing as well, but it's like there weren't good enough games with the exception of PlayStation VR. There weren't enough people playing with the exception of, I mean, the whole article was very weird in that it was like, it was about VR, but not about PlayStation VR. Almost like they made it a separate thing.
Well, here's the thing. And I think this is different. And I think this is what Sony gets so much about VR. Sony, when they create VR games, they're focusing on the game and the fun you have playing the game. And I think when you have Oculus and Vive and all those, I think their main concern is the technology, the performance, the graphics. They're coming at it from that point of view, and that's not what people care about in their VR experience. They just need it to be a fun game to play. And I think that's the difference that you see in these two companies, or all of these companies. And that's why they, I mean, like you said, Invisible Hours doesn't look great. It looks like a PS2 game. But you had fun playing it. You played it for 8 hours. Because it was a fun experience.
I agree. It was almost weird that Sony's the person who realized that you need to just have fun. When sometimes I think they've done really good this generation, though, in fairness.
With fun?
Yeah, on PS3, I think they missed the mark sometimes of trying to make good games that weren't necessarily fun.
Yeah.
So...
But when you come out of the gate the winner, not play catch up, that's what you can do.
Right.
That's why it's so important to come out of the gate strong.
I agree.
Is that it?
That's
what
it.
What else you got?
That's it. It's all the news. We told you it was worth waiting for. That's it. Bam. Wham, bam, news.
That's right. Now you're more informed. On Spawn.
Yep.
What are you doing over there?
I'm communicating with the dead.
What are they saying?
It's not true. Not a lot. They're real quiet this morning. No, I...
I thought maybe.
I was been waiting on an email, and I finally got it, so...
Ooh, is it a good one?
I don't know. I don't know the answer. We'll talk about it off air.
Okay.
thanks for joining us. This has been episode 309, and I remembered the number without looking.
You did. Sweet.
Next time you talk to us is going to be after the holiday or on the holiday.
Actually, I think the next time you hear from us,
it could be the eve.
It'll be Christmas Eve.
If you celebrate Christmas Eve. So we originally told you that the Christmas Eve episode would be the one that is our game of the year. We're going to shift that back 1 week. Mm-hmm. So next week will be normal, just a normal ass, good ass podcast. You think the news suffered this
week?
With
some of this, I was just gonna say, with some of that great news we're known for. Breaking ground, and then we'll be back on New Year's Eve if you celebrate that, also known as December 31st. That will be our game of the year, our Swellness Awards. Presentation, so stay tuned for that.
Swellness. Get swelled.
Swell.
Swollen.
Swole.
What a Swole mate. So those are the guys we keep playing Rocket League against. I hate their names. Non-shout out to Swole mates.
That's why I said it. I know you hate it. You complain about it every time.
Thanks for making the time to enjoy this, to take this in, to spend a little time with us. Remember, you can reach out to us at game_stitch on Twitter. You can reach out to me at Podcast Ryan. You can reach out to Dan at Shirtless Dan. You can reach out to producer Gerald, who was absent today, at Hoffman Show.
He had a brunch.
He did have a brunch situation. Sound like it was unexpected brunch.
I don't think it was a plan.
Which is a good name for anything, unexpected brunch.
Unexpected brunch.
Yeah, it might be the episode title. That might. That's also a good video. I would play a game called Unexpected Brunch because I'd be like, what happened? How did we get here?
What is this?
Yeah.
The thing is, when you say it, it doesn't make sense. Like, how does that happen?
Exactly. But, it leaves mystery.
But old Hoffman Show's living it.
So he's missed this morning. But you can also email us podcast@gamestitch.com if you want to go old school and send electronic mail. We're down with that. I like a little email. Mm. Mm-hmm. Remember when everything was like E and I?
E and I.
Like they put the E on everything.
Yeah.
Like E gift cards. Or like, well, you just send me the code, right? Like I don't know why you're calling that. You're just going to send me the code. I can just still spend it. Everything was E and I home and I pet and I robot and I dog.
I pet, I robot.
Yeah. I think I had a phone case back in the day. It was called like I case.
Probably. It was for the iPhone, right?
Yeah, but they probably made them for the Android under the same stupid name.
Could be.
iCondoms, you know.
Ooh.
They're techie. They give you stats. Does that make you feel bad?
I don't need that.
That's the last thing I need, giving me data. Thank you. It was fine, okay? I don't need your data. It was unexpected brunch. I didn't know it was going to happen. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Good night.
Good night.
Welcome to episode 309 of the official Game Stitch podcast. I'm Ryan Walton, and as always, this is bad. We're going to start over. My voice is going in and out.
I know it is. I'm like, you start out, you're like, what?
Dude, I've been fine all morning. I don't know what to do with. Falling apart over here.
That's it. It's all about that bass. No trouble. It's all about that bass. No treble. I'm just going to keep talking here.